Hey everyone, this is Austin Schur here, and I am back on again with Wildcat Hawkins. He has a brand new record out, and it is lovely. It is called Natural Causes. I'm super excited to have him back on. How are you doing? What's happening?
Doing good, Austin. Just trying to catch up my sleep because I've been recording too much lately.
Yep, I get it. Busy life, busy guy. Whenever I open my Spotify, I get the notification that there's new music coming out. And I can't say I'm surprised, man. It's all fantastic.
I hope people would check out this song, Senpai. I was thinking of somebody special when I wrote that song. And then there was this new one called Sure Sign. It's just a pretty good punk rocker one I just put out, which has kind of a, people are looking at Freemasonic secrets on the internet. So I'm just making a song that it's not divulging anything. It's just, it's nodding towards some things that people look at that are on the internet. So,
Of
and it's
course.
also about my life, and it's a song with a hopeful message. So I think people will enjoy it.
Awesome, man. So recently we spoke about one of the singles on Natural Causes called In Loving Memory of Derek Campbell, and we really got into it. This time around, though, man, you've got another special record on your hands, and I really want to dig into the whole thing. First thing I want to know about this record is why the name Natural Causes?
So what that means is when I when people think about me, the thing is a lot of people think that I'll probably die and I'll get drunk and die in an accident or something like that,
Okay.
or maybe possibly some other way that isn't the best that could have been prevented if some type of mental and spiritual health interventions had been made.
Sure, that's dark.
So that, well, that's what it's about. This is an album that's all about thinking to myself, I can keep living. I know that I'm gonna die someday, and whatever type of faith I have or don't have, that won't change it. But I think that my life is worth living because I'm meeting people along the way that are making it worth living. And I want to get inside a rubber suit and play Leo and get a decent movie and do
Oh
some
yeah.
things. That's kind of, I'd rather do that than just die.
Dude, I love that. And again, like your music is always, it's a portal to your life. And it feels like a lot of things, happen to you in your life. Obviously, there's so much inspiration on this one. We got the entire Derek Campbell story of how that one came to you. And a lot of this is improv, but I know at the same time, like, inspiration needs to strike in order for you to get into the recording studio and make it happen. Was there one moment or a series of things that sort of sparked the creation of this record?
There was. So this idea had been brewing in my head for a while,
Yeah.
for maybe about 9 months now, this that I wanted to create some collection or album. I ended up with a live collection type of concept.
Sure.
Could be called a live album if you wanted, but
Yeah.
I like the term collection for this. And basically a lot of what I've been doing, that term applies, I think. But after I had success in my mind with Emerald Vision and Serpent Seed, I just wanted to keep it going. And I thought the time is now. Let's strike while the iron's hot. Let's go for natural causes. So the
I
next
love
weekend
that.
after Serpent Seed, I went for natural causes.
It's so crazy how you can just put them out and put them out, and they still sound so fresh. But at the same time, I think a lot of, at least the past couple records, you're not necessarily leaning fully away from the piano compositions, but I feel as though the acoustic guitar is extremely welcome. For me, at least as a listener of everything, it kind of takes away from like the burnout feeling of another piano record. And it's changing up your sound to create something new and fresh for you. I know this is a long thought, but at the same time, it's got that like quintessential 90s like emo punk raw intimate feel to it. Are you writing songs in this style because of what is happening at the moment?
I think that's fair to say. What I told you when I started up the whole bit last year was that I needed to find myself better. And part of why I don't market myself and get out there much is because I'm concerned about the fact that I don't know myself that well, so I will, may attract the wrong stuff in. And as I've been looking for this stuff, what I found a core layer of identity, basically. And what it was just, it was that kid that I was before I ever tried a joint or anything like that, basically, is what it amounts to. I was a grunger. I liked punk rock music. I also liked hip hop. And I wrote punk rock songs in high school and alternative rock and hard rock and poppier stuff with a hook to it. Always a hook to it. Always a little ditty. I'm a huge fan of Michael Jackson. Billie Jean is like my favorite song. So like it's got to be catchy. And basically what I realized was this sound has always been there for me and people have always responded to it well. And not only that, but one of my good friends, Steve Bateman, is a very good artist. And he would kind of liken me to Seattle grunge sometimes. And he would say, there's something about you, dude. And at the time I thought, oh, I'm an indie type of thing, right? Because it has some jazz influence at times. But really, there was an alternative rocker there and a grunger, and there was a nerd there, which falls right in line with an emo core artist, which is a nerd who is alternative.
Right. And for me, like, you know, a lot of the music that I listened to growing up was the grunge, was the emo, was like that, you know, perfect 90s sound that captured the era. As soon as I hit the play button, man, it takes me back to a different time. I also think a lot of people, when they associate emo music, they sometimes lean more towards pop punk. You know what I'm saying? Like the pop punk, like screaming emo, black hair over the eyes and stuff like that. But this just is not that. You know what I mean? You don't have to be screaming in the microphone to get your point across. And that's what makes this record and the past couple so special, is you're taking that sound that people might associate and creating something entirely different with past and modern influences.
The other thing I think people throw in there with emo is like Pro Tools, you know? It just sure sounds like Pro Tools, you know?
100%.
But so what I've taken that in a different direction, and I think that there's something very beautiful about an amazing image made in Photoshop with 100 layers. It's very cool. And I think that doing stuff with the Pro Tools and stuff can be kind of like that and be very cool. But what I'm interested in right now is a process with my art that's something like a calligrapher. There is one ink, one brush. There is one calligrapher. There is one paper. There's one moment in time, and you just do it.
Totally. And another thing is, like, and I've mentioned this, maybe not even in the past five records, but let's go, you know, back and back and back. You know, a lot of your music was very much piano-based. Piano improv, with lyrics over it, and it didn't need that flashy stuff. The reason why I'm liking, and I'm gonna just call it like your new era sort of, is that you've taken these elements of the past, and those elements are still very much there. But at the same time, you've switched up the instrumentation. You're showing how complex you can be in your arrangements, and you're creating what is working for you within like the narrative of the whole music.
There's a story to tell with instruments, actually. They make different vibrations.
Right.
The reason that alchemical type of coinage seemed to apply to the baritone acoustic guitar, I felt, in the same way it did in some of the piano work I created, was because, and the thing I love about acoustics is there's a lot of noises in an acoustic guitar.
Very true.
They can be used sometimes.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is like, I could also make the argument that people say piano is the instrument that you should learn because you can capture the most emotion. You can show off those little subtleties. And you can compose music the best because there's infinite options. You've got six strings on a guitar. And I find that like the emotion of it all definitely comes within your vocals. You can hear the pain behind it all. You can hear like some melancholy, but the way that you sing these songs, your voice acts as another instrument. And I feel your voice has evolved so much from the past records.
It has, Austin. It has to do with coming in touch with my nervous system is healing in some ways.
Yes.
There's a lower chakra is found around the waist area and stuff. So I do groin stretches and stuff. And I have found a way to work with my energy, as I was telling you. And what happened was my leg doesn't clamp down as hardcore as it has over the years.
Sure.
and my body doesn't clamp down as hard, so now my tongue sticks out more often and my head shakes a little more, but I feel better.
Sure, I understand.
And I can feel my diaphragm more so than I could before
Right.
through my therapy.
Nice. And that's just a part of the learning process. That's just a part of you evolving as a person, not even necessarily being an artist.
It is. I'm interested in this idea of like conveying a message and what's being signified. David Bowie was saying that he thought the important thing in art was that just what I'm trying to say is what's important. The what I'm saying is what's important. And I feel similarly, but where I also agree is that what does the person feel? What
Yeah.
do you feel? How does it sound? What's the vibe? So I like this concept of, hey, what if I can make a vibe in the acoustic world instead of the digital domain?
Exactly. Another thing here is like, at the beginning of this, you explained to me what exactly natural causes mean. Our last interview had to do about one specific song and the story because of that. But do the rest of these songs, are they more in line with the album title?
Well, Natural Causes Part Two. I had just recorded Part One, the intro, the first
Sure.
of the bookends, and then I looked down at my camera on my cell phone, and I was like, "Oh, I'll be damned!" I was just still strumming it, and it
Yeah.
was recording again. It was already recording, and I was like, "Why?" So I was in a certain mood, and I thought that seems odd to me that it would be recording. I'm gonna keep playing, and I just kept playing, and then that ended up being the bookend, Miracle Mile, Natural Causes Part Two. So it's another completely improvised song, both Part One and Two.
Cool.
And then in the middle, Lived Experience is an instrumental interlude. It's kind of a repetitive pattern. It's improvised and it's on some of the same chord. It's meant to kind of tie into those bookends on some of the similar type of notes being used in vibe.
Completely understand. Now, for me, I want to talk about maybe a couple songs on this record and the meaning behind them. These are just a couple that stood out for me and ones that I found myself coming back to. The first one being Common Denominator. The reason I say that one is like I get the similarities sort of between the opener, Natural Causes, and then the part two as it wraps up. But as soon as the opener stops, Common Denominator clicks in, and it feels like the record really takes off for me. What was the thought behind that song? Because I'm loving it.
I wrote that song when I was about 20 or 21, and I played that song, I think, at House of Rock in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, when I was 21, I want to say. But and I liked that song, and the way I played it this time was in keeping with my current approach to music, which is, hey, the whole framework of it sounds kind of like a gritty, like underground punk with a pop hook to it, though, kind of.
Yeah.
But then it's like let me run that through a prism. Let me apply this whole free jazz ethos to things, and I won't try and tell the music what direction to take, and let's see if I can record it in that style. So that's what we have here was because I could, if I wanted to, I could say, what if we recorded Common Denominator in the studio and we made it sound like an album track from Tegan and Sarah?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
That could be done too. Snap to a
It
metronome
could.
with like a snappy drum, like that
Well,
could be done if you
yeah.
wanted.
But that's the thing is like, and listen, that type of music can come in the future, but I just feel like you specifically, you create these records that are very much, I don't think concept record is the name, but they're cohesive. They flow, they have very similar tones, but you manage to kind of like ride the wave of the sound. Not every song is the same. There's enough differentiation between all of them. However, some just stick out.
When there's a vibe and you're riding the wave of the sound like that, and you get into like an overly deep groove, basically, to
Yeah.
where it's like, whoa, this is an overly deep groove, to where it's like something is going on here. It's not even like a latched groove exactly. And
Yeah.
now I feel like I'm on a vibration and this is vibey.
Of
Because
course.
I like Chopin. Chopin is some good music. You find
Sure.
it like it's, you find there's like a, you know, the time is changing gradually and it's like morphing. It's very cool.
Totally. Another one that I really wanted to talk about was what was it called? Lived Experience. Love that one too, man. And it comes right around like the middle towards the end of the record, not necessarily wrapping it up. And I think you get a really good idea of what it's going to be about based on the name of it, Your Lived Experience. Does that one, and I'm just guessing here, does it have anything to do with like how the album title was created? Like you living, these thoughts and feelings being imparted on you?
Yeah, like I mean there it was another it was another thing that was so meta, Austin, because there were so many layers of meaning to it, and I came up with it quickly. So that was an improvised track where I thought, what if I went back, what if I created something strictly instrumental for this collection,
Yeah.
and it was be improvised, and I think I'd like to do it on those chords that we find on the bookend tracks, Natural Causes 1 and 2,
Sure.
and work with some of the same notes. And so I said, let's try that. And it just, I got into a vibe. When I was done with it, I thought it sounded very airy and very light. It reminded me kind of Radiohead stuff, kind of, but also different, also my own vibe. And I
Yeah,
thought
I
that
mean
was pretty good.
it's the influence for sure. I feel that, but again, it's very much you.
Yeah, it sounded like my own music, I thought, but it also sounded like a Radiohead kind of thing too, I thought. And then I thought, oh, that sounds good. I like this. I'll call it Lived Experience. Because this is an album all about living and dying, and it's about the things we go through. So yeah, I think I'll call it Lived Experience, which is an interesting just it's an interesting turn of phrase that's used by like activists and stuff, which I find to be kind of funny, but I find the phrase to be very cool, and I like the
Totally.
phrase.
Okay. And then the last song that I'm going to ask you about, I think might be kind of obvious, but it's bleeding all over the page. This one clocks in at over 9 minutes, man. That's like, that's a long ass song, especially compared to your others. I guess, why is the song so long? What does it represent to you? Why did you choose this one to be, close to the 10-minute mark?
I've performed this song acoustic before, never on my baritone guitar like this. It sounds more raw, emo, like crust punk, which is a vibe I dig for it because it matches
Sure.
the vocal, I think.
Right.
For the thing about my voice that people might not realize is that on this weekend it started off, my voice wasn't in the best shape, but I thought, you know what, this is crust punk type of stuff. Like this is
Hello.
raw, hard. This is raw emo core music, and I'm just gonna sing it anyway. And by the time we got around to bleeding all over the page, it was shot. I mean, my voice was shot when I recorded that song, but I just sang it anyway. And I said, we'll just chill on. I'm not going to play a gig on Monday, so let's just give
Sure.
it a go. And I just went for it. And I think that sometimes when the vocal is just totally blown to shit like that, then just got to smithereens, it just works. And I said, let's go
Dude,
for it. Because there
yes.
was, you know,
Yes. Well, that's what I was going to say is like, I'm never going to tell you, oh, your voice sounded like shit here, because I always assume it's part of the process. But that kind of like raspiness, it adds to the whole allure of the song. And if anything, it adds to the whole feeling of the record. Like, again, it's very 90s Seattle era, grungy, punky, emo, acoustic music. If you had like soft, silky vocals, man, it just would not translate as well. Like, not even close.
There's different vibes, Austin.
Yeah.
I've actually played this song acoustic on my regular guitar, which I need to repair on that, so I can't play that right now, but because the frets are worn down. But my playing is much finer and very careful on my regular acoustic, and
Okay.
my vocal was a lot softer. There's some reverb through the microphone, like I'm at, a club or whatever, and I've played it and it sounded pristine, and it sounded like more careful and more refined than Dashboard Confessional does, actually. And then so then but then how I play here is kind of a vibe that I think is, I kind of like it more when it's like this. I don't like, so there's extra lyrics that didn't appear on my album Rough Diamond,
Okay.
and I really think those lyrics are part of my message to have the addenda added to the song here for the acoustic version. I'm talking about culture. I'm talking about
Yeah.
family systems and job offers and dating and everything. Everybody trying to get you to sell out pretty much is what it all amounts to. Just a crock of shit like that. So basically that's what I'm singing about there when I say that everybody's trying to fold like a cheap suit. And that's what I was singing about.
Awesome, man.
And how I feel like that myself when I look in the mirror and I try and hold myself to a standard. And I don't
Absolutely.
always feel like I'm measuring up, but I want to.
Totally. To begin to wrap this up, like this record is very special. It's obviously personal, like the rest of them. Is there anything else that you want to share about it before people, you know, give it a listen?
There was a reason I made this. I made this because I want the people to be blessed when they listen to it, if they can be. I'm not trying to be the pushy one. I'm not trying to be the preachy one, but I want you to understand that this type of art doesn't just happen. You know, I could have been 6 feet under a long time ago. It really could have happened. And if you know about me and what I'm like, and like, there's more to me than a chipped tooth, you guys. Like, I wasn't even hardly supposed to be here, according to a lot of people. So what I think is that I'm not embarrassed to be considered emo. I'm proud of it, is what I'd like to say about that.
I love that. Man, just thank you. Like, again, the conversations are always open and honest, and I love learning about the songs. It is fun for me to listen to the songs without knowing what they're about and then getting the explanations from you. It makes my experience better when I go back and listen for a second or third or fourth time. So for everyone out there, the record is called Natural Causes. The artist is Wildcat Hawkins. And as always, we'll have the links in our article so that you can listen, share, follow along. Stay tuned. You always know there's a new record coming, so follow along. And just, man, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you so much, truly.
No, Austin, you are the bomb. I'll be back to talk about this Wildcat Pendragon Hawkins thing, the hip hop I'm coming out with. So that'll be gradual.
I'm excited. I'm excited, man. All right. Once again, thank you, and I'll talk to you soon. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, did you get it wrapped and stuff, or are you good? Or
yeah, sorry. I think my internet went out for like a half second. So, but we're totally
we
fine.
Were done. We're, we were
yeah,
done, weren't
totally
we?
Fine. Perfect timing.
Okay. Great
Awesome.
Interview.
Dude, hey, listen, thank you so much for being flexible in your time and being able to do these back to back. I really appreciate it.
I'm so flexible now because I work evenings and I started working Sundays, so I actually have a split lifestyle. Oh, I didn't tell the people. I came out with a dance video now. I got my first one uploaded.
Nice.
Well, we can talk about that later. But
no worries.
I'm getting into the dojo, getting ready for this bat project soon. I'm not going to try and get picked up by a basketball team. It's more important for me to work on my moves, I decided. So I got training to do.
Cool. All right, man. Well, I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. I know we'll talk soon. Thank you again for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, good to see you, Austin. Hang tight.
Awesome. See you later. Bye-bye.
Yes, you're on, brother.